This is Vincent Price. We're in a packed courtroom awaiting the verdict. To my left is Arno Lucas, the defendant, nervously drumming his fingers on the arm of his chair. Seems impossible that this slight, almost unobtrusive old man, virtually lost behind stacks of legal documents and reams of depositions, is a powerful underworld figure. Yet the government's case was strong because of the testimony of the man to my right, protected by two U.S. Marshals, the star witness for the prosecution. He is Frank Egan, Lucas's former associate. It was Egan's knowledge of illegal gambling, fraudulent transactions, and bribery that provided the federal attorney with solid evidence.
Will the defendant please rise?
The prime office affixed.
Mr. Lucas, I understand the concern for your father. However, your lawyers have had ample opportunity to present a defense.
This is a kangaroo court.
Mr. Lucas, any further outburst and you will be removed from this court. Do you understand?
Yes, Your Honor.
Arno Henry Lucas, you have been tried by a jury of your peers and found guilty of extortion, racketeering, and mail fraud. You stand convicted of using your influence to the detriment of others. The time has come to serve notice on you and other men who show disrespect for the law. Therefore, it is the decision of this court that you be fined $100,000 and remanded to the custody of the federal authorities at the United States Penitentiary at Leavenworth for a period of no less than 15 years.
What? It's a fix! You hear me? It's a fix!
Bailiff! Clear the court!
I'll frame up by a rotten spoolie! You're going to pay for this, Egan. You hear me, Egan? You're not going to get away with this. I'll catch you. I swear, I'll catch you, Egan!
Order! Order!
The courtroom is a sea of confusion as the reporters dash to the telephones and spectators mill about. Frank Egan and Carl Lucas face each other across the room. Lucas's eyes bore into Egan's with an unspeakable hatred. Suddenly, Egan bolts from the chamber, terrified. He knows his life will always be in jeopardy. And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Double Exposure, by Ken Jerrard. Our stars, Vic Perrin and Mary Jane Croft.
Minutes after Arno Lucas was sentenced to prison, Frank Egan was en route to a safe house run by, shall we say, quasi-governmental agencies. Although shaken by Carl Lucas's threat, he felt safe. But now we find Egan in different circumstances, disheveled and frightened, hiding in a seedy hotel.
Where are you, Kern? You got me into this mess. Now get me out. Where are you? Some special agent. You were going to protect me, huh? He left you alone, Frank. Stuck you out there like a clay pigeon. Left you for Carl Lucas and... I don't know. Think. Okay, I'll show him. I'll write to the newspapers. To that reporter that covered the trial. What was his name? Coster. Yeah, he'll know what to do with this story. He'll know it. Where's my pad? Dear Mr. Coster, I'm writing to you because I've got nobody else to turn to. Maybe by the time you get it, I'll be dead. I guess all the strange stuff started right after Arno Lucas was sentenced. I was leaving the courtroom with Agent Stuart Kern.
a minute.
Come on, Mr. Kern. I want to get out of here.
Lucas isn't going to hurt you.
Are you crazy? I just put his old man in a slammer.
Frank, will you play it our way, huh?
He's coming.
You better hold on to him, Frank. Real tight.
What do you want, Lucas?
Don't make me laugh.
Your father had a fair trial.
Shut up, Kern. You, Egan. Stooley. I won't forget.
Are you threatening a government witness?
Oh, no way. I'm offering advice. I want your boy to remember me. And what he did to an old man. He treated you like a son, huh, Frank? You were part of our family, huh?
I want to get out of here.
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead, you're free. Walk the streets, sit in the park, enjoy yourself. You got Kern and his people to protect you, huh?
Carl, please. They made me testify. I didn't want to. I didn't believe me.
Liar.
I didn't have a choice.
Oh, I feel sorry for you. You're going to be living like a king on the outside while my father rots in a stinking prison. But, Frank, you're the one who's in prison, not him. Oh, no. Not him.
I was scared. I knew Carl Lucas had hunt me down. I wondered, why did Kern let him have a crack at me? I ran out of the courtroom, but Kern and the U.S. Marshals caught me in the hall. All I remember was struggling, and then a pinprick on my neck, and the whole building started to swim. The next thing I know, I'm in a hospital, and this beautiful woman is sitting beside my bed. Oh, my head.
Lie back, Mr. Egan.
Oh. I feel like I've been asleep for days.
Would you like some water?
Yeah. Yeah. My face. I've got bandages all over my head. What happened?
Take it easy.
Why are all these tubes in me? I'm covered with bandages. Was there an accident?
You're all right now. Come on, please, lie back. That's better. You're fine, just fine.
What is this place? Where's Kern? I want to see Kern.
He'll be in shortly.
I don't like this.
You're safe. We've moved you to one of our clinics. We've performed some cosmetic surgery.
You did what?
We altered your appearance for security reasons. Standard procedure for special witnesses.
You people are crazy.
The surgery is part of your cover. We're giving you a whole new identity, new face, new job skills, a new life. Why, you'll be able to walk in front of Carl Lucas. He'd never recognize you.
Who do I look like?
Nobody. Anybody. Does it matter?
I guess not.
Don't take it so badly. It's like being reborn.
Tell me, how do you figure in this?
I'm going to be traveling with you for a while, for security, and liaison with our office.
When do I get out of here?
Oh, not for some time. The surgery's only part of your cover. We'll provide you with an entire new identity. Your new face has to be matched with a new personality. And when you're ready, we'll begin psychological retraining. In a few months, we'll have removed all traces of Frank Egan. It's a successful program. Trust me, Frank. Trust me.
I sank into the bed, confused and apprehensive. Everything she'd said swam in my brain. They'd operated on me, given me a new face. They were going to make me into somebody else. I didn't even know where I was. Suddenly, my eyes filled with tears. And I felt alone. Alone and very frightened.
I felt alone and very frightened. Frank Egan looked at the words he had just written to a newspaper reporter he barely knew. Again he was alone, isolated, in hiding. A barking dog shattered the stillness of the night, and Egan shivered in fear. How could anyone believe his tale? He wasn't Frank Egan anymore. He was now... But let him tell the rest of his story.
I think I was in one of their hospitals in the South, but I really wasn't sure. They never let me have a newspaper or watch television. She said it was part of the sanitizing process. Oh, thank God. Thank God Kern's found me. He's going to pull me out of here. Hello, Kern? Ann, is that you? Who's on this line? Talk. Talk, talk. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's them. They're out there waiting, waiting. I'd better finish this letter. I'm going to let the whole story get out. Yeah, I'll have it splashed all over the newspapers. All right. Her name was Ann Harmon. She was Kern's assistant and in charge of my programming.
Feeling better, Frank?
I guess so. You know, it's creepy. I can't get used to looking at that face in the mirror. It's strange. I mean, it's a handsome face, but...
Well, you understand, don't you, that your old life is over. Now you're Taylor Shaw.
That's my name? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't like it. It sounds... Well, it's not me.
Goes with your looks. And when we're finished with your reprogramming, you'll be that man.
Okay. It's better than Carl Lucas chasing Frank Egan the rest of my life.
He'll never see you again. Now, let's start with some basic trait corrections. We want you to undergo certain tests. Nothing harmful, just subconscious relearning.
The next few weeks, if they were weeks, sped by. I was turned inside out. I learned to talk differently, to walk with a bigger stride. And in the end, I was thinking like Taylor Shaw. After a while, I enjoyed it, but deep down, I was afraid. And then the nightmare started. I never told them about that. Maybe I should have.
No, Frank. You graduated from Lafayette College, not State.
Sorry. There's just too much to remember.
Well, take your time. We can go over your background tomorrow, but you better review your notes this evening.
Well, when am I going to graduate? You know, leave this place.
Soon. Very soon.
A week? 2 weeks? Oh, come on, Miss Harmon. It can't be that secret.
I imagine 2 weeks is a good bet.
All right. Where am I going to be sent?
First, you get your personal history down, Pat. Then we'll talk about it.
I'll lay you odds.
Taylor Shaw doesn't lay odds.
I'm sorry. I would guess that I'm going up north, somewhere in the Middle West. And my cover, an office job. No, middle management in a manufacturing company. Am I close?
You're too smart.
Is class dismissed for the day?
I don't know. I may never graduate.
Cheer up, Mr. Shaw. You're going to be released tomorrow.
You're kidding.
Tomorrow?
You and Miss Harmon are leaving for California in the morning.
When did you make this decision?
I didn't. Mr. Lasseter changed the plan.
That's a major alternative. I don't think Mr.
Ann, can we discuss this later? There's a staff briefing at 4:30. In the meantime, I want Frank... Mr. Shaw, to get some rest.
I feel this is too sudden.
Ann.
Well, everything's okay, isn't it? I'm still covered, aren't I?
Yes, of course. There's nothing to worry about. When you and Ann get to San Diego...
San Diego?
When you get there, you'll go right to our safe house. Everything's arranged.
Safe house?
It's part of your cover. The head of the company feels you'd be more productive in Southern California.
Level with me, Kern. I'm in trouble. There's been a security leak, right?
No. You're protected. Safe. Sometimes these things happen. Trust me, Frank. We know what we're doing.
Trust him? What a joke. It was a setup all the way. And I was the target the whole time.
Frank Egan, the man on the run, sits hunched over a desk in a sleazy hotel. Frantically, he writes out his story. It is a desperate attempt to relate the events that have brought him to San Diego. Events that destroyed his real identity and turned his world inside out. He stops writing and stares into the fearful blackness of the night. His face glistens with a cold sweat.
I should have known that I was being set up, but the idea of winding up in California pleased me. And having Ann Harmon as a traveling companion was okay, too. We landed in San Diego on the 19th. Another change in plans. We had jobs at the Safe House. Safe House? It was a diner. I was the counter man, and she was the waitress. Give me a BLT, rye toast. And what do you want to drink?
Coffee. I never saw you here before. What happened to the regular guy?
Oh, he quit. Booze, you know. Cream?
No, thanks. You from back east?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. You look just like a guy I knew from Detroit.
Never been there.
Hey, Taylor, give me a hand with this table.
Sure. Now, your order's up, fella. Here you go. Enjoy yourself.
Thanks. You sure you're not from Detroit?
No, I'm sure.
Who's your buddy?
I don't know. Some jerk thinks he knows me.
Do you recognize him?
No. Let me carry the tray. You take the glass.
Well, you better take a look at him again.
Why? You think he's one of Lucas's boys? Well, is he?
He's turned this way. Just go to the kitchen. Go to the kitchen.
I took the tray and hurried into the kitchen. Ann started to talk to the guy. He nodded his head a couple of times. Finally, he paid the check and left. So who is he?
I'm not certain. You better run a check on him. In the meantime, go back to the apartment and start packing.
Well, what about you?
I'll meet you there. Give me an hour. Well,
maybe I should stay here?
Do as I say. Now.
All right.
Leave by the back door. Don't run. Be cool.
Yeah, I'll try.
Hiya, Mr. Shaw. How you doing?
Where'd you come from?
Just been waiting for you.
Look, I don't know you. I don't want to know you.
Oh, sure. Tell me all about it, Mr. Shaw.
I don't have any money. Here, take the watch.
Oh, come on. Drop the act.
Act? What? You think I'm somebody else?
Look, man, I know you. We've been waiting months until you showed.
Did Carl send you? Did he send you?
Carl? You don't have any business with any Carl. It's just Franco and me in this part of the world.
Well, you made a mistake.
No way. You're Taylor Shaw. You're my man.
Down the alley!
You got it!
That way!
I got him.
What do you want?
Don't do that again. Never.
Oscar, you sure this is the guy?
Roll up his sleeve.
Yeah.
The left one, dummy. There it is. Three dots tattooed above the wrist.
They did that to me at the clinic.
Shut up. Franco, get the car.
Yeah.
We'll take him to the warehouse. We can talk in private. Right, Mr. Shaw? A nice, quiet talk between friends.
Oscar slammed me against a brick wall and I slumped to the ground. They threw me into the back seat of a car and the lights went out. The next thing I knew, somebody was slapping my face.
Up. Come on. That's better. Come on, Shaw. Sit up.
Oh, my head.
Drink this. Go ahead.
Oh, you... You guys made a mistake. It's not what you think.
Sure. Tell me about it, punk. Now, where's our...
Franco! Take it easy. No need for the rough stuff. We're all friends. Isn't that right, Mr. Shaw? Just good buddies.
What do you want? Money?
Oh, man, if that isn't a joke.
Control yourself. That's right. We would like our money, just as promised. We delivered, now you come across. It's business, Mr. Shaw. Nothing else.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
$300,000, that's what. It's our dough.
Easy, Franco. Easy. He's right, Mr. Shaw. You owe us.
For what?
Hey, let me take him out.
Not yet.
What's the use? Now, we're not getting anywhere with
now
this
back
priest.
Off! I don't want this to wind up like the other one.
What's the difference, Oscar? He's going to die anyway.
No. Let's just get the money. That's all. That's all we're entitled to. I don't want another killing on our hands.
Go ahead.
This can be short and sweet or damn painful. Now, where's the $300,000?
I don't have $300,000.
Mr. Shaw, we performed our end of the bargain. We brought in a shipload of heroin. We killed the Coast Guardsman. We did everything your people wanted. And now we, Franco and I, want to get paid.
I am not Taylor Shaw.
Damn it, save that garbage for somebody else. The dough. Just get us our share. Understand?
You got the wrong guy.
No, sir. We've waited for you. You're a month overdue. A month.
Look, I'm Frank Egan. Egan. They changed my identity for protection. I was a government witness. And the girl, the waitress in the diner, she's a special agent.
Annie?
Yeah. Ann Harmon. She'll tell you.
Franco, you hear that?
Annie's a fed.
No kidding. Well, next time I've got to see her shield. She wears a badge, huh, Sean?
Look. It's a mistake. Just let me out of here, and I won't tell anybody, all right?
I can't get over sweet little Annie working for Uncle Sam.
Oh, it's true.
It isn't. Because Ann works with us. She's the one that brought you out west, right? She's a runner for the syndicate.
No. She's with the FBI.
Come on.
Hey, sure. Cut the double talk. Now, we are tired of waiting. Now, tomorrow, all of us are going to the bank, and you are withdrawing our money.
What bank?
The one that has our 300 G's.
Cool it! Now, look, Shaw. We know you've got a safe deposit box somewhere in town. Just open it, and this whole stinking mess will be finished.
I am Frank Egan.
Don't open your mouth again. Now, don't.
Please believe me.
Punch flattened me. I don't know how long I was out, but the next thing I knew, Ann Harmon was standing over me.
Lie still, Taylor. Franco, give me that washcloth.
Oh, here you go.
Now, doesn't that feel better?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry the boys had to be forceful. Just keep that on your cheek. But you haven't been cooperative, have you?
Ann, tell him the truth. Tell him who I am, please.
We won't get anywhere this way.
Let her try, huh?
You're not making this easy on yourself.
It's a waste of time. Oscar, call Mr. J. Get him down
here. Shut
up. No more. Look, we've taken all the risks so far. Now, you call him. He can deal with his creep.
Franco, will you shut up?
Mr. J? What are you talking about?
Nothing. Now, just forget it.
Tell her.
Franco.
Mr. J is our partner, silent partner in this business.
Listen, will you keep your mouth shut?
No. I've had it.
I thought you ran this racket alone.
Mr. J put up the bread for the boat, the lab, distribution. We're only transportation.
And I thought you were running this show.
What you didn't know didn't hurt you.
Well, I'm tired of taking the heat. Now, Oscar, call the man. Let him take care of Shaw.
Do it, Oscar. It's his money, isn't it?
Oh, all right. I'll make the call.
I am not part of this. I'm Frank Egan.
And please.
You open your face once more and you'll regret it. You understand?
You're with them, aren't you?
Here, Annie. Hold my gun on him. I want to hear what Oscar's going to tell him.
Talk.
The man from Detroit is here.
I know. I saw him at the diner.
You were there?
Talk, Oscar. What's the problem?
He says he's not our man.
You checked for the tattoo?
It's there.
So, let him take you to the safe deposit box.
He doesn't know anything about it.
What are you trying to pull?
Nothing. We've worked him over and he's still saying he's some guy, Frank Egan. Yeah, Egan.
The guy who fingered old man Lucas?
How do I know? Listen. Mr. J, you got to come down. We want to turn him over to you. This is getting sticky.
You were paid to make the delivery, then to take Shaw to the bank. Now, do it.
No. It's out of control.
Okay. Here's what you do. Make the this guy talk. If he's sure and holding out for a slice of the action, I want to know. But if there's been a switch or something, and he's Egan, well, keep him alive. He's worth a hell of a lot more than $300,000. And I know just who to call.
Yes, sir.
You in the warehouse?
Right.
Give me an hour. I'll be there.
Well, he's coming. But first, we need some questions answered.
I watched Oscar put down the phone, and then he looked at me. His stare sent a chill through my body. I acted quickly. Anne had turned away from me. I grabbed her gun.
He's got the pistol.
Stay back.
Get him, Oscar.
Don't do it, Frank.
He's getting away. Head him off there, Franco.
Use the back stairs.
I ran like a wild man into the night. I didn't know where to go. I was alone, and I was afraid. She'd maneuvered me into a trap, but why? Why? It pounded in my head. Any way I looked at it, I knew I was a marked man. I would never leave San Diego alive.
Vincent Price again. Frank Egan's life hangs by a single thread as we open the fourth act of Double Exposure.
I've been holed up in this room for 2 days. I can't take it anymore. They're out there. They're looking for me. I can't reach Kern. His emergency number is disconnected. I don't know who to trust. When I finish this letter, I'm going to kill myself. You want me? You come get me.
Frank, are you all right?
But, Kern, how'd you find me?
They locked your call into a tracer.
But it was out of service.
Frank, we've always known where you were.
Oh, nothing with you makes sense. You know they're after me. You got to save me.
I'll try.
Try? What kind of answer is that? Now, please, please, I'm in room 303. I want you to get me now. Do you understand?
We have to let the string run out. Just stay put. Let her make the next move.
Anne? Well, you know your girl's part of a heroin ring. She's not with you.
You've got to wait.
Why? Whose side are you on?
Do you have a gun?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Stay away from the window.
Oh, you got me into something else, huh? I never had anything to do with drugs. Kern! Kern! I gotta get out of here. I'll go down the fire escape. The gun that... Okay. Steady, Frank. You're almost... Maybe Kern. Yeah?
Frank, get out of the room. The whole thing's gone sour.
How'd you find me?
Never mind. Move. He's on his way.
Oh, you set this up with Kern, huh?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I'm not leaving this place. No way. If you tell me to split, then I know it's got to be safe. You got another target.
We've had you staked out from the beginning, Frank.
You mean set up?
There's no time to explain. Oscar and Franco are on their way.
You tell it to the Marines. Sure. Sure, you want me on the outside. No way. I'm not leaving this room. I'm going to call the police. Yeah?
Night, manager.
Bull.
Don't kill him, Franco. Mr. J wants this clown alive.
Untie his hands. How you feeling, Mr. Shaw? Is that your real name?
Yeah.
You know, you've caused us a lot of trouble and time, Shaw. Now, we're going to get paid one way or the other. It's simple, basic business. These boys bring in the heroin. I underwrite the venture, and then your people come up with the money.
I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't got $300,000.
Could be. But we have to find out.
I'm not your man.
Whose man are you? Mr. Oscar here tells me you said you were Frank Egan, huh?
That's right.
Well, the only Egan I heard of was a fink, a stoolie, who sent old man Lucas to the slammer. You that Egan?
No, of course not. I don't know any Lucas.
Could be. But we'll cross that bridge later.
Whoever you are, I want my money. I delivered the junk. You pay. No more stalling.
I'm not your man. I don't have it.
Let's try that again. Think carefully, huh?
You can work me over all you want. I'm not your connection.
Okay. Let's find out who you are. Because if you're not from the Detroit branch and you don't have any share, well, let's see if you're Frank Egan. Oscar, get our visitor. Yeah, Egan, interesting name. A friend of mine's been looking for a Frank Egan, looking real hard.
He's over here, Mr. J.
Well, Carl, is this a man?
It doesn't look like him. He's had his nose fixed. You check him for facial scars?
No, let's take a look.
Keep your hands off me.
Hold your head still. I said still.
Come here. Yeah, is that what you mean? He's got small incisions near the hairline.
Yeah. He's had cosmetic surgery. You talk.
You're holding the wrong guy.
He said he's Egan. What do you think?
I'm not forking out 500 grand till you can prove this creep's my boy. Now, if he's the one, you get the bounty. If not, sorry.
Listen, Carl, I wouldn't have brought you out here for nothing. He's Egan.
Prove it.
All right. Bring him here. I'm tired of horsing around with you, fella. Just give us your real name, huh? No double talk, no wise answers. You understand?
Yes.
Great, let's have it.
Frank Shaw.
What kind of answer is that?
Talk, you crummy stumble bum. Get your head straight.
Let me handle it, Mr. J. I know just what to do.
Shh. Now, easy, boys. Not yet.
I'll let them beat it out of him. If he's sure, you get your three big ones. If he's Egan, I'll pay. You can't lose, Mr. J, but you got to prove it to me. He's Egan.
Don't worry, I will. Tie him to that chair. Give me a gun. Now I need a .38.
Here, use mine.
Okay, big shot, we're going to play a game. It's called a truth game. Very simple. All you need is a gun, liar, and one bullet. Yeah, you see? It's like an enforced game of Russian roulette, except I hold the gun right at your head. Simple, no?
Yeah.
Good, I think you got the picture. Now, this can be a short game or a long one. You see, fella, at this point, I'm playing for big dough.
If you kill me, there's no payoff. The only way you collect is if I stay alive.
He's right. I'm not paying for a court.
Let's see how far this joker's bravery goes, huh? You get the truth. Is your real name Taylor or Shaw?
Yes. No.
Sorry. Are you Frank Egan?
Yes. No.
The odds are running against you. You better come clean.
You can't win.
Shut up. I don't give a damn about that money anymore. Egan, Shaw, whoever the hell you are, you're going to die.
Don't, Mr. J. Let us have him.
What? You beat him up, he'll say anything. Oh, no. I'm going to blow his brains all over this warehouse. I'm finished. I'm happy.
All right, cool it. If he's Egan, I want him. Our family wants him alive. Do it again.
Okay. Don't press your luck. Start talking.
Frank Shaw.
Give me the gun. I'll handle this.
Mr. Chain, there's a couple of cars coming up the road.
Don't bother me, huh?
Now, I want some answers. The truth. You got a phony store and you've had cosmetic surgery and I'm tired of these half-baked answers, you hear me?
Hey, the cars are stopping in front of the building. Some people are getting out.
I think you're Frank Egan, am I right?
Frank Shaw.
Okay, smart boy, I got this pistol right against your temple. Feel it, huh? Huh? Last chance. I know you don't want to die. Give it to me straight. I'm going to count to three and then...
Don't.
One.
Please.
Two.
You got to believe me. I didn't want to.
Three.
I'm Frank Egan. I am. Don't shoot me, Carl. They made me testify. I didn't mean to hurt your father.
They said he wouldn't be sent up.
You rotten freakers should blow your
Special Agent Kern. The building is surrounded. Come out with your hands up.
Can't kill the lights. You're down.
Where's the back door?
This way. What about him?
I'll take care of
it. Come out with your hands up.
You know where you can go.
This way. Finally.
Wait a minute. I'm on the nail. Our friend here.
Forget him.
Hey, kids!
I give up. Finished.
Get those lights on.
It's over. Over.
And get their guns, Rossiter. Take the men and find the other two.
Stuart, over here. It's Egan.
Is he dead?
No, just beaten pretty badly.
Lucas tried to kill me. I told him.
It's finished. We'll take care of you. Trust me, Frank. Trust me.
Stuart Kern and Ann Harmon arrived not a moment too soon. Oscar and Franco were captured. But what happened to Carl Lucas and the elusive Mr. J?
Agent Kern.
Good morning, Stuart. How did your meeting go with the agency chief?
Fair. He was quite disturbed that we didn't apprehend Carl Lucas and Mr. J.
Yes, well, under the circumstances, we were lucky to get the other two.
The boss doesn't see it that way. He wanted Jay so bad he could taste it. Well, at least this time we have three men who can identify him.
Two. Egan's had a complete nervous collapse. He's no use to us. The psychiatrist reports he's assumed a dual personality, grand schizophrenia. He's become Shaw and Egan.
I should have gotten him out of the hotel immediately. Oh, so much for a case against Lucas. I thought we could have had him on attempted murder.
Well, I think I can persuade Oscar to cooperate. He's facing an assortment of charges. It's worth a try.
Let's move him to the clinic.
He's already there.
Selecting a new face?
Oh, no. We haven't progressed that far. It's in the early stages of discussion.
Anne, when you conclude the talks, why don't you have the doctors make him look like Frank Egan?
Interesting concept. We could use him as bait to get Carl Lucas and possibly Mr. J. Interesting.
Think it over. Give me a call.
I will, Stuart. I will.
All you have to do is get Oscar to trust you.
Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you five nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Double Exposure, was written by Ken Girard and produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Your host was Vincent Price. Our stars were Vic Perrin and Mary Jane Croft. Featured in the cast were David Downey, John Lark, Marvin Miller, John Shea, and William Zucker. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CVI.
This is Cicely Tyson. Join us again tomorrow when I'll have another story that illustrates one of love's many faces. Thank you.